Well, hello everyone. Nice to see you. Let's turn to the last chapter of the book of the Revelation, and we're looking at the last section of this book. This is the closing word of the Lord to his church. The very last inspired word given to his church. And we began our reading at verse 6. Perhaps we could just remind ourselves of what that verse says. Revelation chapter 22, verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. We had a slightly shortened study here on Tuesday, and we looked at that which is, as it were, just jumping out of these two verses that we're looking at, namely, the trustworthiness of the Bible and of prophecy. The Savior puts his stamp upon it. If you ever look at a bank note, you will see on it a signature, and it's the signature of a high official in the bank. And his signature is an indication that this note will be honored. It's genuine, and it will be honored by the bank that issued it, should you wish to cash it or buy something with it. And we have at the end of this wonderful, blessed book, the Lord Jesus Christ's signature. And he's telling us, this is genuine, this is trustworthy. These sayings are faithful and true. Verse 6, faithful and true. Now we labored a little bit last time we were together, and I pressed upon you that we must never doubt the Bible. Never doubt the Bible. Don't let anybody test you on this matter or tempt you on this matter. Tempt you to doubt the Bible. Because the Savior says that these words are faithful and true. I pointed out to you that whatever the Bible says about God is true. No matter how outlandish it may appear to men, for instance, the Bible tells us that God made the heavens and the earth, and all that in them is, and all that's above the earth, and everything that can be seen, God made it. Now today, in most schools, all universities, the student is taught, God didn't make the heavens and the earth, that's only a laugh, it's only a foolish thing. And they put forward their own notions, their own notion. Their own notions are even more laughable than they claim creation is laughable. We can understand God, the supreme being, making the heavens and the earth. That's a rational statement. But the wise men of the world, they say, no, 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 no. Well, all right, then, what made it? Well, we don't really know. There was a sort of a big bang a long time ago, and lo and behold, there it was. The earth, the sun, the moon, stars, they all appeared out of nothing. It's a long time ago that a man challenged a scientist to put forward this notion of evolution. He challenged him by saying, look, I have a pocket watch, and if I were to take it to pieces, now, that's what boys particularly love doing, taking things to pieces. Never been able to put them together again, but the joy is taking them to pieces. Now, if you were to take a watch to pieces, you would have dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of pieces. Tiny little screw, little cogwheel, spring, all sorts of little pieces of metal that all go together to make a watch, a pocket watch. Now the man said, if I were to do that with my watch and give you the pieces, maybe 100 pieces, and put them in a bucket, how long do you think it would take you swinging that bucket round and round and round and round and round until somehow or other all those pieces came together and my watch would be restored? How long would it take you doing that? Of course, the scientist laughed and said, it would never happen. And I feel he's right. It would never happen. And the man said, well, my watch is only a small wee thing. And yet you tell me that the earth and the sun and the moon, the star, the whole universe, somehow or other, came into being as a result of a bang. It all just fell into place. He says, if you laugh at the idea of my watch being reassembled by you swirling it around your head in the bucket. How much more laughable is the idea you have of how the world came into being? Well, to me, the account of creation that's given us in the Bible is entirely feasible in comparison to the notions that men put forward. And swear by! Oh, boys and girls, whatever the Bible says about God, about you, about sin, about heaven, about hell, about salvation, you believe. That's what you and I are to believe. But we go a little further today, and I want you to notice that to reject the Bible is the most dangerous thing. To reject that which God says is true is the most dangerous thing. The most dangerous thing. And you can readily understand why it's dangerous. To start with, if you reject the Bible, if you reject any part of the Bible, especially in the light of what the Savior says here in verse 6, these sayings are faithful and true. Now, if you say, no they're not, and I'm rejecting them, you're on a collision path with God. You're calling God a liar. Now, who do you think is going to come out of that confrontation as the victor? Who do you think will be proved right? You or God? I don't think you have to think too long to work it out. Well, if you come out of such a confrontation with God as the loser, you've got to know there's a penalty to be paid. You can't call God a liar. You can't reject God's truth without there being a penalty. And there is a penalty. There's a price to be paid. Maybe we'll look at that side of the matter just very quickly before we go on and give you an encouragement to actually believe in God and obeying God. In the very last verse of John chapter 3, John chapter 3, as you well know, is a chapter full of wonderful statements. For instance, John 3 and 16, God so loved the world. Well, at the very end of this chapter, there's a tremendous word. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. If you don't believe what God says, the consequences are the wrath of God. It angers God for anyone to say he's a liar. For anyone to say he's a liar. For anyone to doubt his word. Call it into question. And mind you, there's any amount of people today, even ministers in some churches, and they would teach their people, don't believe the Bible. Don't believe everything you read in the Bible. And they're calling God a liar. And how offensive that is in the light of the fact that they have gathered the people together to worship God. And as part of the worship of God, they tell the people, God's a liar. Wouldn't that just bring before us the very height of man's wickedness that he should seek to honor God by calling God a liar? Many do it. Well, the Lord Jesus tells us here that the penalty for not believing in the message of the gospel and not believing in the Lord Jesus, who is the message of the gospel. Remember, he said himself, I am the way, the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is God's word to us. The beginning of John's gospel, he's called the word. He's God's message to you and to me. And when you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you're calling God a liar. You're calling God a liar. And the consequence of calling God a liar is wrath. This world will yet learn that that is the case. There's no honor for those who say what I have just been saying. The world doesn't think that a person who preaches the gospel is a particularly worthy person. They're inclined to mock them and sneer at them and so forth and so on. Just as they're inclined to mock and sneer at those who believe the gospel. But one day they will learn. One day they will learn that every boy and girl who believed the gospel received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior was the wisest possible person who will have a high place in glory. Whereas all those so-called wise men and wise women who mocked the gospel and in some schools, most schools, would tell their pupils, don't you believe the Bible? Don't you believe the Bible? Believe evolution. Believe that man descended from a monkey who descended from something less than a monkey, which had descended from something even less than that. right back to nothing. That's how we came about. Don't believe what the Bible says. That's what many boys and girls are taught. Those who teach them that, it will be discovered one day they were utter fools. Utter fools who will suffer the price of eternal damnation. That's what the Lord says. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth. Abideth? Just you think of that word. Abideth. After they've been under God's judgment for 1,000,000 years, it will still abide upon them. It will continue forever upon them. But of course, let me turn to the other side of the coin and tell you something of what happens when you believe the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us, going back to Revelation chapter 22 and the verse 6, these sayings are faithful and true. Well, what happens if you believe these sayings? Are there any benefits? Oh yes, there are benefits that are too great to be counted. Too great to be counted. Let me give you just one example. Turning to the Old Testament, I'll just read these words out to you. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses is giving the law a second time to Israel, emphasizing it, repeating it. And of that law, he says in Deuteronomy chapter 12 and the verse 28, observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee forever, when thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God. Hear our words, the Savior says. Hear our words, that if you observe all these words, it'll go well with you and with your children forever. Hear our words, boys and girls, that will bring you an everlasting harvest of joy and goodness and blessing. You know, that's how people get to heaven. Every person that is in heaven is there because they observed the Word of God. They observed the Word of God. I visited a friend who recently was very ill, but the Lord graciously healed, away over in Limavady. And the road to Limavady from here, well, you have a couple of choices. The shortest one is up hill, down dale, round corners, over bridges, through little villages, over mountains. A very twisty wee road. But I have a sat-nav. And there's a lady in that sat-nav who seems to know Northern Ireland very, very well. She's been to places I've never been. And she recognises them all. And I observe what she tells me. When she tells me I'm coming up to a crossroad, and when I get there, turn left. I turn left. And then 300 yards down the road, there's a road to your right, turn right. I go right. That's observing what she says. And lo and behold, she brings me right to the door of that man that I go to visit. Isn't it wonderful? But it all depends on me observing. Doing what the sat-nav tells me to do. Boys and girls, you will get to heaven if you do what the gospel tells you to do. That's how you get there. These sayings are faithful and true, says the Lord Jesus. And if you obey them, they'll lead you all the way to heaven. But if you disobey them, reject them, don't heed what God is saying, then you will continue on your way to a lost eternity. I might just have you notice in that verse I read to you from Deuteronomy chapter 12, the verse 28, there's that little phrase, observe and hear all these words. You can't come to the Bible, you know, and say, I'll do that, but I'm not going to do that. I like that, but I don't like that. You can't do that and hope to please God and get to heaven. If a person goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, oh, I know what's wrong with you, and here's a prescription. There's a little ointment, and here are some tablets and some capsules. I want you to follow the instructions. And you go home, and you open up what the chemist gave you, and you say, well, the ointment, there's no trouble rubbing that on with them. My tablets, ugh, an awful taste to them. I'll not bother taking them. Now, can you really hope to get better if you only do part of what the doctor tells you to do? Of course you really can't. You really can't. Just as if you in class are taught something, rules of English grammar, rules of morals, rules in any subject, and you say, well, I like that, but I don't like that. Can you hope to succeed at that subject? Yes, you can. It's not going to work. And likewise, you will never enjoy the blessing of the Lord unless you observe to do all that God sets down in His Word. You can't reject His Word and make God the liar and hope to spend eternity with the one you have called a liar. You know, that's what brought trouble into this world at the beginning. Adam and Eve believed the devil. When the devil said, God's not telling you the truth. God says you're not to eat of the tree that is forbidden, because the day you eat thereof, you'll die. But that's not right. God's telling you a wee white lie. If you eat that fruit, you'll be all right. In fact, you'll be much wiser. And Adam and Eve chose to think that the devil was right and God was telling a lie. And we know what happened. We know that as soon as they did what the devil had suggested to them, they knew we were fools. The devil is a liar, and what God said was true, and we're going to pay the price. And everyone born of us, all the children ever born of us, and that includes you. That's why when you were born a sinner. You were born a sinner. A sinner who must be taught that they need to be delivered from their sin. And that deliverance is found in only one place, the message of the gospel that God has given unto the world. Oh, boys and girls, it can't be well with us if we reject God's truth. But oh, how well it will be with us if we embrace what God said. If we say, I believe God. I believe God. That's what it is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. When others are laughing and sneering and saying there's no truth in the gospel, the one who is going to become a Christian says, I believe what God says. And the moment they believe in God's word and the message he presents to us and the person he presents to us, even the Lord Jesus Christ, the moment we say, I believe in him, then we pass from death unto life. We're saved. Oh, at the very end of the Bible then, here is this solemn word to us. Christ's signature. These words are faithful and true. Carry that with you all your days. Never, never forget that the Bible's true. The Bible's true, and if we reject it, there is a terrible price to be paid. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. For Jesus' sake, we bow together in prayer. Lord Jesus, impress thy word upon the hearts of boys and girls, and grant to them the grace to say, I believe God, and that it shall be even as he has said. Lord, answer prayer, and bless the school and the teachers as we come to the end of another year, for Jesus' sake. Amen.